şerille ağır aldap çalvar oda.
And you're listening to KRFP Moscow. This is the home of Moscow's community radio station, Radio Free Moscow. And this is the Wild Clearwater Country Show. I'm Gary. I'm going to be your host this week. Will is on vacation having a good time back at his brother's wedding back east. But since I'm a resident of this part of the world permanently, I guess I get to do the show. Here we have a couple of announcements. July 27th at 7 o'clock at the 1912 building, there will be a meeting about the Idaho Panhandle National Forest Plan with the district ranger from the St. Joe Ranger District, Chuck Marks. Pretty important meeting. It's going to be co-sponsored by the Palouse Group Sierra Club and Friends of the Clearwater. 7 o'clock. This will determine the fate of some very important areas, and we'll have a little bit of information about one of these areas later on in the program today, Grandmother Mountain. And this plan will deal with Grandmother Mountain, the northern half of the Mallard Larkins country, and all that upper St. Joe country that people love so well that we sort of adopted into the wild Clearwater country. Much of the Mallard Larkins is such a big roadless area that it includes not only the St. Joe watershed, but portions of the Main Fork and the Little North Fork of the Clearwater. The Main Fork portion is on the Clearwater National Forest, but the Little North Fork of the Clearwater and the St. Joe are on the St. Joe National Forest. So this plan affects not only the St. Joe River drainage, but the Little North Fork Clearwater as well. So you might want to attend that meeting July 27th. There'll be refreshments there. And let's put the ranger on the hot seat for a little bit. But we do have some news about a good thing the Forest Service has done. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So I'll talk about that when we get back. I'm going to take a very quick musical break now. And I think this is a great song for the summer. It's one by Dana Lyons, and it is really funny. So I hope you enjoy it. It is called Ride the Lawn.
My grandpa was a cowboy, and his pa before him. They rode the range, killed the buffalo, and fought the Indian. But the great herd's on the prairie, and the wild frontier is gone. So to carry on my heritage, I go out and ride the lawn. Ride the lawn, ride the lawn. Here on my quarter-acre lot I sing my freedom song. Ride the lawn, ride the lawn, oh, oh. We'll hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone. My neighbor is a slacker, and he rarely rides the lawn. He says that he likes wildflowers with dew on them at dawn. But the enemy travels quickly when the winds are strong. Next week while he's on vacation, his dandies will be gone. Ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn.
Here on my quarter acre lot I sing my freedom song. Ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn, oh, oh. We'll hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone.
Ride the lawn.
The problem with suburbia is you cannot shoot your gun. So how does one kill herds of moles who eat grass just for fun? Well, I've loaded up my arsenal with shells and ammo cans, and under cover of the fireworks, July 4th I'll make my stand.
Ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn.
Here on my quarter acre lot I sing my freedom song. Ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn, oh, oh. We'll hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone.
Ride the lawn.
My son came home from college, and he criticized my lawn. He said fertilizers, herbicides, and pesticides are wrong. Well, I'll listen to your politics and your weirdo leftist songs. But when you're under my roof, don't you dare speak ill of lawns.
Ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn.
Here on my quarter acre lot I sing my freedom song. Ride the lawn,
ride the lawn,
ride the lawn, oh, oh. will hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone.
Cover the fire, Scarecrow.
That was Dana Lyons with Ride the Lawn. Great tune there. Get a little bit of weather before we go into a couple of topics and announcements. Looks like we're going to have chances of rain showers tonight, although the probability, if I'm reading the chart correctly, says it's only 20%. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs around 80. Lows tonight, 59, 60 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows around 50. And the extended forecast looks like mostly clear with a warming trend for Saturday and Sunday with lows in the mid-50s and highs as high as the low 90s. A little bit too warm for my taste. Well, we have a kind of an interesting show for you today. We'll talk a little bit about a couple topics that are facing the wild Clearwater Country. One is the Idaho Panhandle National Forest Plan Revision. We made an announcement about a meeting earlier. And we'll have actually some good news to report on the front of Grandmother Mountain. The second thing we'll talk about is the idiotic proposal by the U.S. Forest Service to revise their regulations or policy on killing predators in wilderness. They're going to violate the Wilderness Act, in essence, and they need to hear from members of the public. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And this week we get to award a Whopper of the Week. And in fact, it's been such an amazing week. I think we may end up with a couple of awards given out today. Well, let's start with the Idaho Panhandle National Forest Plan. And if people want more information about this plan, they can always look on the web. The Panhandle National Forest has their planning documents on their website, and it's a fairly easy one to remember. It's just www.fs for Forest Service .fed.us, and if you put a slash in there, you punch in R, the little R, and the numeral 1 for region 1, and from there you can go and they will ask you what national forest, and you look for the Panhandle or the Kootenai because they're being revised together. Or if you want the plan itself, you just put a slash in there and type in KIPZ. So R1/KIPZ. So www.fed.us/R1KIPZ. Or you can look on the Friends of the Clearwater website. They will be putting up an alert and information about this plan here in the next couple of days. So we'll talk about that also on an upcoming show. But I want to go over some of the highlights, or I guess a better term would be lowlights of the Idaho Panhandle Forest Plan Revision. And I'm going to keep these comments to the areas here in the wild Clearwater Country, places near and dear to our hearts and part of what we think of that northern tip of the Big Wild. So that's basically the headwaters of the St. Joe and, of course, the Little North Fork of the Clearwater River and its tributaries. Well, one of the lowlights of this plan is that none of the Mallard Larkin's Pioneer area, an area the Forest Service has in the past recommended for wilderness, not 1 acre are they recommending for wilderness, and the high peaks that drain into the Little North Fork or the off the Clearwater River. None of those high lakes, Heart Lake and some of those that are just on the Idaho Panhandle side of that watershed divide, not 1 acre is being recommended as wilderness, even though in 1987 the Forest Service recommended a pretty good chunk of land there, although not all of it. None of the Little North Fork at all is being recommended as wilderness, and that is absurd, crazy, whatever term you want to use. That's probably perhaps the most famous area in the entire Idaho Panhandle National Forest, and the one the Forest Service has in the past at least recommended for wilderness, not 1 acre. They are recommending a little bit of the St. Joe River drainage to be part of the Mallard Larkin's wilderness, since it's all this big roadless area. It's over 250,000 acres in size. They're recommending a little chunk of that, but none of the high peaks there that people in Moscow and elsewhere like to visit. Kind of crazy. So if you write some comments to the Idaho Panhandle, you might want to keep that in mind. And again, you can find out more information on the Friends of the Clearwater website, www.wildrockies.org/FOC. Friends of the Clearwater, or just go to your search engine and type in Friends of the Clearwater, and it will take you right there, I'm sure. So that's one problem. Another problem is the actual headwaters of the St. Joe River and St. Joe Lake are not recommended as wilderness. Sort of that much of the upper part of the St. Joe is, but not the actual headwater itself. It is part of a roadless area that also includes the headwaters of the North Fork Clearwater. It goes over the divide, and it also includes a few beautiful lakes on the Lolo National Forest. So it's on three national forests. It's generally called the Upper North Fork Meadow Creek area, although it's not the famous Meadow Creek that flows into the Selway. This is a large 50,000-acre area. Not 1 acre is being proposed for wilderness. Again, a ridiculous idea on the part of the Idaho Panhandle National Forest. They're also not recommending for wilderness any of Grandmother Mountain. A portion of that area is a wilderness study area. Grandmother Mountain is a unique situation, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past. Because of the history of the area, the strange policy and administrative history, it is divided among two federal agencies, the U.S. Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. The part that is managed by the Bureau of Land Management and some of the National Forest are a formal wilderness study area, but none of that is being recommended as wilderness by the U.S. Forest Service. Again, a huge problem. One of the prime areas, 30,000 acres, the closest unroaded chunk of land to Moscow, Idaho, of any size. A spectacular area, home to wolves and huckleberries, as those around here know. And unique area, a lot of mountain hemlock in the high country. You can see the history of fire ecology as it's played out in the high country of Grandmother Mountain, Grandfather Mountain, Lookout Peak, Widow Mountain. Interesting headwaters there. It's the headwaters of the Little North Fork on the east end. It's also the headwaters of Marble Creek. And the very western, southwestern portion of the area has a portion of some of the upper drainages of the St. Mary's River and also the Floodwood Creek, Pinchot Creek and some others that flow in there. Some very unique values. Just over on the other side of the road, there's another roadless area from Grandmother Mountain called Pinchot Butte. And it has unique bogs and marshes there that need to be protected. Again, the Forest Service isn't inclined to protect that area. The second major problem, talked about some unique roadless areas that are not protected, There's a couple more I want to mention. There's one called Mosquito Fly. Just a simple dirt road divides it from Mallard Larkins to the north, and it drains into the St. Joe. And one is called the State Line area, or Midget Peak State Line, and that also flows into the St. Joe River, and it also goes over the border into the Lolo National Forest in Montana, a spectacular high country right along the Bitterroot Crest. Neither of those two areas, both of them ranging 20 to 30,000 acres in size, are not recommended for wilderness in spite of the fact they are prime backcountry and prime elk habitat. But the Forest Service says, oh, well, we're going to protect these areas. We don't need to recommend them for wilderness. And then you look in the fine print of this odd designation that's called backcountry. It allows motorized vehicles. They're not prohibited. It allows logging, which is not prohibited. And it's pretty silent on road building. So I suppose roads could be built if they at some point in time say, well, we might obliterate them later. Well, once the road's built, it's a fairly permanent scar, especially here in the West. Things tend not to grow, even in the wetter part of the North Idaho, to grow back so fast. So a ridiculous proposal on backcountry areas that they're trying to use as some kind of a form of bizarre substitute for recommending wilderness. No wilderness recommendation as they did in the past for Mallard Larkins or the Little North Fork Clearwater. None of that. And in fact, they're proposing not to protect the Little North Fork at all, except for a very narrow corridor. They had it in their earlier recommendation in 1987. They were protecting a good chunk of that as wilderness recommendation. They're on the west side of the Little North Fork. Nothing this time around. And that's the only protection that would receive is this unprotective so-called backcountry designation, which allows everything to happen, so it would not be protected in the long run. So those are some of the site-specific problems. Another problem with this plan is water quality. There are no protective measures in there anywhere to protect bull trout or West Slope cutthroat. Those are two endangered fish, and right now, the Forest Service has something called InFish, which doesn't allow logging for the most part within 300 feet of fish-bearing streams. Well, they apparently have dropped that requirement. It doesn't seem to be there at all anywhere in the plan that anybody can find. So they're not protecting water quality any longer, and they're allowing logging just about everywhere. So it's a rather huge problem on the Idaho Panhandle National Forest. But there is a bit of good news in spite of this new draft plan out for public comment, which does nothing and makes it so the U.S. Forest Service is no longer accountable to the citizens of this country, to the people that the employees of the Forest Service work for, citizens of this of the nation. But there is a bit of good news in spite of that bad draft plan, and I would encourage people to write to the Forest Service about that. And that is the fact that finally, after years of complaining to the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management, a couple of the trails up in Grandmother Mountain have been formally closed to the four-wheel all-terrain vehicles. In the past, these trails were in sort of a weird limbo, at least according to the Forest Service. I think they actually were probably closed, but the Forest Service never enforced it. Now they have started to enforce the closure up there and are not allowing these vehicles because they're tearing up some of the high country in and around Grandmother Mountain, up in the high meadows, in Freezeout Creek, in part of that world, in Upper Gold. So those areas have been closed to at least the four-wheel, those little four-wheel drive vehicles. But they're not closed to motorcycles, and they can also cause some damage. So there's a lot more work to be done. But at least some of the extensive damage that has been done in Grandmother Mountain, anybody that's been there in the last 2 or 3 years has been able to see it, has been closed for the time being. So a little bit of good news, and the Forest Service sort of did something right, although they didn't close the whole area or recommend it for wilderness in their plan. They've done a little bit of protection for Grandmother Mountain. Well, that's about it for the Idaho Panhandle National Forest Plan portion of our show. Again, for more information, you can contact Friends of the Clearwater at their website, www.friendswildrockies.org/FOC, or look up Friends of the Clearwater on your search engine, or give them a call, 882-9755. Ask for more information. You can do that. And also, I want to announce that meeting about the plan. The district ranger is coming down, and I think he will engage the public in talking about this. Comments on this plan are due on August 10th. So we'll have more information on this radio show next week's version of the Wild Clearwater Country Show. But I wanted to at least alert people on July 27th in the 1912 building here in Moscow, the old high school across the street from the current high school up on 3rd Street, 7 p.m., meeting with the district ranger. Come with some hard questions and let him get nearful about what needs to happen on the panhandle, places like Grandmother Mountain, Mallard Larkins, the headwaters of the St. Joe and whatnot. Well, before we get into more of the Wild Clearwater Country Show and some of the other topics, we're going to be talking about the idiotic proposal of the U.S. Forest Service to kill predators inside wilderness areas and violate the Wilderness Act while they're doing that. And we're going to award a couple Whoppers of the Week and talk about some other local things that are happening. I thought we'd take a little quick musical break. Again, this is sort of a change in style from Dana Lyons. This is a former Moscow resident, Jimmy Flame, and Jim Thomas. People may remember him of Jimmy Flame and the Sexy Boys. Apparently he has moved to the West Coast, and there's a brand new or fairly new album that he's got, just a self-titled album. Jimmy Flame and the Sexy Boys, and he's got some pretty good songs on here. So I'm going to play the third cut on here called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It looks a little bit spooky, so here we go with some Jimmy Flame and the Sexy Boys. We'll be right back. little change of pace here for the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Something a little bit loud and wild for the Wild Clearwater Country. Jimmy Flame, former Moscow resident, now living on the coast. And I haven't had any recent reports of Jimmy. I have to talk to my friend Greg Mack to see how he's been doing over there on the west side. Well, the next segment of the Wild Clearwater Country Show is about predators and wild country. The person considered the father of wildlife management, probably one of the leading wilderness ethicists and intellectuals of the early 1900s, a great man, oft quoted, author of Sand County Almanac, Aldo Leopold, said something in 1949. In his book, Sand County Almanac, that was actually published just right after his death, he said, one of the most insidious invasions of wilderness is via predator control. Leopold was also famous for his story, his quote, about seeing the green fire and the wolf die as he and some of his fellow employees of the U.S. Forest Service were looking down on an old wolf and her cubs. And they pulled out their rifles and they began to shoot, having trigger itch, as he called it. And he realized that that was a mistake, that predators play an important function in the ecological health of wildland systems. In fact, they play a crucial function. And there's been a lot of research recently that shows predators may have a what is called a top-down influence. They may be keystone species for wildlands. So, in spite of all of that, under the current administration, the Forest Service has proposed to revise its national policy regarding predator control in designated wilderness and also areas that are supposed to be protected, research natural areas. And the changes would, in essence, weaken the role regarding how and if predators should be killed to protect livestock or boost popular game species such as deer and elk. Right there, there's the catch. Never before have predators been killed in wilderness to farm game animals. That just hasn't happened. It's not, at least on the national forest system. It's happened in the past because in certain wildernesses, not many in the West, that are under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Forest Service because of grazing of domestic livestock, sheep and cattle to some degree. But it has been directed at the offending animals and has been a more thoughtful program for the most part. Not entirely, but for the most part. What this would do is decision-making authority about wilderness would be turned over to the Federal Wildlife Services. That's a euphemism for the ones that go out and kill bears, cougars, coyotes, and state fish and game agencies, neither of which have any understanding of or concern for protecting wilderness values. These agencies are not charged with protection of wilderness, as is an agency like the U.S. Forest Service in designated wilderness. And for the most part, with few exceptions, they don't care. In fact, they are hostile towards wildland protection. And unfortunately, under the new rule, predator control wouldn't be limited to species typically targeted like coyotes, wolves, mountain lions, or bears. It could also include the wholesale killing of ducks, cormorants, or other birds that eat game fish. So that's sort of what the Forest Service is proposing. They have a comment period, and comments must be received in writing by August 7th, 2006. And one can visit the Friends of the Clearwater website for an alert and where to send comments. But I'm going to read to you some of the emails. You can email the Forest Service if you're interested in this. And a capital P, capital D, capital M, PDM. And I'm not sure what that stands for. It's a pretty doggone something or other. but or Predator or something or other, but pdm@fs.fed.us. And send comments into the Forest Service about their change in policy. And some of the significant changes would include this. It would allow poison baits, including cyanide-filled M44 devices, and that's eliminating the long-standing policy to prohibit such use in wilderness and research natural areas. It would allow aircraft landings and use of motor vehicles in wilderness for predator control. That's a new shift in policy, and in fact is prohibited under the Wilderness Act. Motorized use is only allowed in the case of emergencies or very specific exceptions granted where the wilderness character of the area would actually be protected by such use. And it's really hard to make that case, and especially for predator control. It would eliminate the criterion that lethal control can be authorized in wilderness only if it was taking place prior to wilderness designation. In other words, if predator control wasn't occurring, then it can't in the future. Okay, this is a major problem here, and it shows that it's not directed at livestock, but it's directed at wholesale slaughter of wildlife with some ill-defined game farming goal in mind. Is actually setting the clock back to before all the enlightened scientists who did the studies, like Aldo Leopold, like Marty Murray and her husband Olaus, and like Olaus's brother Adolf, about predator-prey interactions in the 20s and 30s, some 70 and 80 years ago. It allows the killing of entire local populations, thereby eliminating the current policy's focus on targeting only the infecting individual. It eliminates a current provision that requires case-by-case approval from the regional forester for any lethal control activities. And it would allow basically the government trappers, state fish and game managers, and unidentified private individuals to determine when lethal control should occur. In other words, it is abrogating the responsibility, the legal responsibility the Forest Service has to protect our wilderness. And it allows predator control as a tool to achieve unrealistic game population goals. One great example, of course, is the unrealistic expectation that a place like the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness needs to have a whole bunch of elk. We're seeing natural plant succession take place, which can and should occur in the Selway Bitterroot, and there may not be as many elk as there were 50 years ago, but there's probably more elk than there were 100, 200, 300, or 400 years ago in the Selway Bitterroot. And elk numbers rise and fall depending on the recency of large stand replacing fire at lower elevations, which produce shrubs like Ceanothus, which is a preferred species for elk, and other small hardwoods like choke cherry, bitter cherry, maple, and some others. It also allows unidentified so-called collaborative groups. Do you hear shades of the French underground and the French resistance and their concern about collaborators here to set predator control objectives for wilderness? Again, this is a radical change, and it is taking the authority away from the federal agency that is supposed to have and by law is charged with the duty of protecting the wilderness character of the areas and giving them to some so-called collaborative group. And eliminates requirement that control must be necessary. So they can do it for whatever reason. So this basically violates a Wilderness Act, which requires that the wilderness character of the area be maintained, that the area be untrammeled, which means unconfined, uncontrolled, letting the natural processes, including predator-prey relationships, take place out there in the landscape. That's a requirement of the Wilderness Act. Minimum of intervention. And the Forest Service's excuse for this is that the changes will bring these policies into conformance with an agreement called a Memorandum of Understanding. It's not a legal agreement, by the way. Signed in 2004 by the Fish and Wildlife, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, which is the Wildlife Services Division, which, again, are the government trappers. Boy, Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, Wildlife Services Division. What a long euphemism for just going out and killing predators. Control measures include leg hold traps, snares, body gripping suffocation traps, calling and shooting, aerial gunning, poison bait, cyanide poison devices called M44s that shoot cyanide into the mouth of a coyote. So if you're, or a wolf. So if you're out there with your dog hiking in the Selwood Bitterroot Wilderness, be careful. And denning, which entails snaring of pups on a sharp hook to pull them out of their dens and then crushing their skulls. Numerous non-target species are also killed annually because many of the lethal techniques are not specific. Bald eagles have been killed by poison baits, by leg hold traps, and M44s have killed many species, including bears, wolves, dogs, raccoons, badgers. And they're also lethal if you're trying to save your dog and you see it convulsing over there to humans. So that's a very irresponsible activity. While most predator control in wilderness to date has been done to protect domestic livestock, that is not the impetus for this new policy, as stated earlier. So, again, if you're interested in riding the Forest Service and this, about this radical new policy that violates both the letter and spirit of the Wilderness Act, and I'm sure if they try to implement it, it will be taken to court. You can write an email to PDM@fs.fed.us, or you can contact the website of Friends of the Clearwater, www.wildrockies.org/FOC. Look under What's New, and there is an alert there about predator control and National Forest Wilderness and Research Natural Areas. I want to quickly just comment about the Research Natural Areas. These are very small areas where human intervention is intended to be eliminated, and study natural processes and study how they act and function. They are so small that I find it hard to believe the Forest Service would even consider predator control within them, but yet here they go, violating a longstanding policy against predator control in these areas. These areas are not grazed by domestic livestock, and they're there to study, as I said, natural interactions, plant and animal interactions. And they tend to be very small, select areas of very, very unique natural features, like the Aquarius Research Natural Area up on the North Fork, which has some very rare plants found only on the coast, but also in some of the wetter parts of North Idaho, unique ferns and whatnot, or like the Locksaw Natural Area, Research Natural Area on the Locksaw River, again, a similar situation. One of the only populations, the only inland population of Pacific dogwood is found within that Research Natural Area on the Locksaw, and also on the Selway Rivers. Very unique plant species. The Forest Service, again, proposing to allow predator control in these very unique small natural areas. It's an abomination. It's despicable. And the agency needs to be told to fulfill the public interest rather than some bizarre special interest. It's an unfortunate hallmark of this current administration that the duty to the public has been superseded by the benefits to special wealthy interests. And that's not called a democracy. That's, I think, fascism is the term for that. So I think we'll take another quick musical break. Listen to shift gears here a bit again. An old record. At least some people think it's old, back from the late 70s, one of the great singer-songwriters, in my opinion, from the famous Easter album, Patti Smith Group, Till Victory. We'll play that one and then get back and award the Whoppers of the Week. So here we go, some Patti Smith. Wild Clearwater Country Show. And it's time for our special award this week. Yes, it's time again for the Whopper of the Week. And it's been quite a week. And so today we actually have two Whoppers to award. We gave the background in our last segment for the first Whopper of the Week. And that goes to the U.S. Forest Service for its proposal to allow motorized vehicles, poisons, inside wilderness, which are prohibited, to kill predators for basically any reason anybody comes up with. That's a violation of the Wilderness Act, and it's a despicable move on the part of the U.S. Forest Service, and they need to be told by the citizens to follow the law, obey the Wilderness Act, and keep our wild lands wild. That's very irresponsible, and it's a hallmark of this administration in their efforts to privatize our public lands, including our wilderness, and turn them over to special interests. It's called stealing. It's called corporate fascism, whatever term you want to use, and that's what's happening here. It's a little microcosm of the problems that we're facing worldwide with this with the current thugs in office. So there we go. One Whopper of the Week goes to the U.S. Forest Service. But another, it's going to need a little bit of background information. Those of you who drive to Lewiston, and I usually don't drive down there. I usually ride my bike is how I get around. But people that drive to Lewiston, of course, are very aware of the Lewiston to Thorn Creek construction on Highway 95. Now, we're building a four-lane into Moscow. As far as I'm concerned, an unneeded four-lane, just more of the pavement in this insanity. And as we're facing the end of oil, we're building more and more superhighways that won't be able to be maintained. Just, a fit of insanity is what I think it is. But the Idaho Transportation Department is constructing a big four-lane road from Lewiston to Moscow. One of the concerns about construction of that highway, of course, were endangered plants. And we featured on the Wild Clearwater Country show a while back about a local indigenous, very rare plant called Spalding's catchfly. And it's found here in Latah County and Nez Perce County. And it was found along the route of this new road construction. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service came out, since they are the agency that is supposed to oversee implementation of the Endangered Species Act. They came out and they found a population. And lo and behold, we've heard now that that population was, they dumped a bunch of rocks and buried it or did something to it. This very rare threatened plant that's listed under the Endangered Species Act. That's and who knows why that happened. We don't know, but I think this whopper, the second whopper, and a very deserving whopper, goes to two agencies, the Idaho Transportation Department and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, for failing to properly mark and make known the fact that this area shouldn't have been disturbed, where this very rare plant, the Spalding catchfly, was located. Or in the alternative, if they were allowed to disturb there, they were supposed to have taken those plants out there and planted them elsewhere. That didn't even occur. So those two agencies get a very deserving bad award, the Whopper of the Week. All right. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Idaho Transportation Department. Three peas in a pod. I'm going to take a last quick musical break before we go into Between the Lines. Again, I'm going to play a little bit more from this new album from Jimmy Flame, self-titled Jimmy Flame and the Sexy Boys on Amp Records. And I'll play a little bit of a selection from that. And we'll go back to Between the Lines. You're listening to KRFP Moscow, Idaho, Radio Free Moscow 92.5 on your radio dial.